This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, of course, that's the term Space Brothers means they are here to help us rather than to harm us. But let me look at the other direction here. I don't know how much you focus on this. Legends of less than friendly people or the Men in Black. That goes back to the early 50s. Do you get into that at all?
I do touch on it in the history of sort of the UFO phenomenon, but I don't spend much time talking about the Men in Black in any particular sense or in this of the Space Brothers. Again, you know, I do mention the Adamski and his particular sighting and then sort of the follow-up, I suppose, I don't use cult, but, you know, I guess the movement, let's say, that came after him. But no, because again, I wanted to focus on the UFO community primarily as it is today. The history is an important concept and an important part of the book, but the book focuses primarily on the modern day. What is the UFO community now and how does it function now? So I did not spend too much time, going into that aspect, unfortunately.
I wanted to bring up here also the most recent developments, and we can focus on that too, where it seems the government may be taking it seriously. We have that Pentagon UFO study. We have such figures as Luis Elizondo, and we have Tom DeLonge and the To the Stars Academy. But we have very serious articles being published about UFOs in mainstream publications. The Washington Post, of course, the New York Times. Doesn't that signify something else is going on here?
You know, potentially. I think at times, it's funny that we're talking about history, and I said they didn't focus on history, but, you know, in this conversation, we kind of need to. You know, I think, you know, ufologically, we've been down this road before. We've always had those insiders who know a lot of things but can't always talk about them. You know, we've had mainstream media cover the UFO phenomenon. We've had incredible evidence of UFO events. They kind of just sort of fade away, and then something else comes in, and it often kind of looks the same as it used to. If we live in interesting times, you know, but 2019 really does reflect, you know, the 1980s and the aviary and the MJ-12 documents and all of that drama. UFOs cover up live in 1988. Like, this is all, you know, almost like a repeat of that in a way. Sure, it was the 80s, so it seemed a little hokier, but we're kind of going down, I think, similar paths here. Now, with that being said, I think that there's been a lot of interesting content that's come out as a result of the Pentagon and the ATIP program and through the To the Stars Academy. You know, they've brought forward a lot of new, interesting information to the mainstream and again, kind of created a cultural force. And I talk about that on my YouTube channel. We have to respect the fact that To the Stars has altered the playing field a little bit. I think, like I said, we've been down this road, but it's sort of a slightly different road, maybe. So I think it's an important cultural phenomenon. And I have to be honest, I didn't talk about To the Stars in my book. Because when I wrote the book, I wasn't sure if To the Stars was going to last. So I had to be cautious. As all this To the Stars stuff was coming out in 2017 when I finished the book, you know, you have to kind of sit there as an author being like, you know, am I going to include this knowing, you know, it might not make the year? So I kind of pivoted and I decided to interview Hal Puthoff and Gary Nolan, who were involved with To the Stars, but kind of kept To the Stars out of it and just focused more on them and their work. So. But again, To the Stars is really the sum of its parts, right? It's this invisible college and the Pentagon program, the ATIP program is really the invisible college, just under a new name. It's the aviary again, right? Just again, in different clothing.
Yeah, this is where I was, suggesting that we go with that. And, sort of, it does tie in exactly to Gene's comments there as well, the whole invisible college concept. I mean, so my question was going to be, how has the invisible college evolved over the years since it was first alluded to by Jacques Vallée back in 1975? And I mean, he was talking about academics and other scientists that were shy about putting their name on record, you know, for fear of some sort of ridicule or something like that. Now we see them seemingly coming out of the woodwork, quitting their jobs in order to become whistleblowers. There seems to be a shift in the whole idea here, like Gene was saying.
Yeah, I think. I mean, you know, when you look at, well, okay, I'm, unfortunately, with the Invisible College, right, there are a lot of people who choose to remain invisible. So, you know, in my book, I spoke to a handful of people, but only three allowed me to print their names. And it's really the three who are already public, right? Kit Green, Hal Putoff, Gary Nolan. Everyone knows who they are. They already have a UFO, sorry, a public UFO presence. So they're members of the Invisible College, but they're not very invisible.
No, exactly.
But there's a lot of other academics, a lot of other people who work in intelligence, or they're private contractors with you know, various companies that have, you know, let's say government contracts or whatever.
Well, we had Dr. Paul Kingsbury on a few months back, and you know, he's a professor at Simon Fraser University, and very interested in the cultural aspects of ufology, not unlike yourself. And so we're getting people who are looking at ufology from a very academic perspective without necessarily having to say, hey, we're dealing with extraterrestrial visitation.
Sure. No, and I agree, but I'm not sure if that's what we would sort of argue the Invisible College is. I think the Invisible College, in the UFO sense, are individuals who are fascinated by the UFO phenomenon and go after it as a phenomenon. People like myself who are academics or who are sort of academically minded, who study the culture, you know, I have an easy cop out, right? I can say, well, I don't really study UFOs. I study people who are interested in UFOs, right? So,
right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like a journalist who writes about UFO. I'm a journalist.
Exactly.
I'm not a ufologist. You know, right. don't label me in with the tinfoil hat wearing UFO nuts.
I
think we really have to get over that in the community and say, look, you know, like Stanton Friedman, who, you know, sadly we're no longer graced with his presence. But, I mean, he was a non-apologist ufologist. He would just say, look, what we're talking about are some sort of craft from another world.
Sure, but, I mean, he made his career doing that. And not all of us are going to be so lucky, right? It's not like if every academic suddenly quit their job and said, you know what, I'm going to do UFOs full time, and you know, they're not going to be able to survive off that, right? Because then everyone will be doing it. You know, Stanton was able to kind of corner a market at the time, and he did it, and he did it successfully, and he kind of rode that train all the way up until retirement, and then came out of retirement and did it for a few more years, and then, like, you know, retired again. The point, I think, is the vast majority of the Invisible College remains invisible because their interests are truly ufological. They're interested in how the phenomenon works. So they're really going after UFOs as things in the sky, or as an idea, or as a metaphysical concept. And they work their day job, whatever it is, whether they work for the government or a contractor or a university or whatever they do. And then on the side, they quietly pursue the UFO question. And those two worlds do not meet, right? I don't at work talk about my UFO interests, and with my UFO friends, they sort of know what I do, but we don't really talk about that because we don't want people in our normal lives to find out that we have a UFO background.
I think. Why not?
Right. And well, because there's still a significant taboo. I mean, when you really think about who's in charge, at least in an academic world, I'm not an expert on, you know, the intelligence community. So I can't sit here and express my total understanding of how sort of intelligence and government contracts work.
We've got to see how these people work, We have MJ Benias and Gene Steinberg. And J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, we have to see how our sponsors work because that keeps the network alive. So let's continue here in what we're covering. The book is The UFO People. Highly recommended because it'll give you an idea of the insights into the things that are going on. Now, just parenthetically, when we look at all this activity right now, it's painted as a physical phenomenon. There are real UFOs. They are probably spaceships, because that's the implication here, in connection with the fact also that we have discovered what appear to be exoplanets that may be able to support life as we know it. So the next logical thing is maybe they're coming here. What's your take?
My personal opinion on whether it's extraterrestrials rather from another planet.
It's more about conveying that impression in the latest coverage on the subject.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that that's where to the stars, and generally, again, most people I've spoken to in the Invisible College, they don't necessarily rest their beliefs on one idea or another. So I actually think to the stars has and ATIP or, you know, this group, they've done a fairly good job of remaining fairly distant from the word alien. I interviewed Anthony Lapp, who was the showrunner for the TV program Unidentified, which is the TTSA ATIP kind of TV show. And they used the word alien like once or twice in the entire 6-episode series, because they were very cautious in how they present the information. And this has kind of been the to the stars thing a little bit. You know, when you talk to people like Kit Green or Hal Puthoff or Gary Nolan, they're not going to say it's aliens from another planet because they don't have the evidence to support that. It's a hypothesis that they would say, you know, is possible, but they're not going to sit there and say, yep, it's 100% aliens from here. And I think that that's kind of a sane and rational place to stand. We don't necessarily have evidence that it's extraterrestrials from another planet. But the media and the mainstream media especially has really spun it that way. It's really telling when you watch the most recent coverage on the mainstream news channels, from CNN to Fox to whoever's been talking to Luis Elizondo and whatever, you know, the second question half the time out of all of those journalists and news anchors' mouths is, you know, are we dealing with aliens? And the response is always the same. It's like, well, listen, you know, we don't really know that yet. We don't have that evidence. And fundamentally, it's kind of a dumb question. But the problem is news anchors and journalists who aren't involved in the UFO community are very much kind of have been trained by the media, as it's always kind of been spouting the ET narrative. When you look at movies, TV shows, when you look at anything related to UFOs, books, whatever, fiction and nonfiction, it's been really talking a lot about extraterrestrials. And that's kind of the party line, I suppose, that's kind of been towed, because that's what the mainstream media wants to spin. It's an easy thing to talk about. Yeah, UFO people believe in aliens, done. When in reality, that's not the case, right? The UFO community is not totally convinced that it's aliens from another planet. Sure, there's people who think that. There's a group of individuals, but not the whole subculture.
There's a lack of unity within ufology in terms of terminology in the first place. So, say if you're with the group that I'm with, you might have your own opinions, but generally speaking, when we talk about aliens, we talk about something that is from beyond the boundaries and constructs of our civilization. That means it could be from another planet. It doesn't necessarily have to be from another planet. Maybe it's from another universe, but there's less evidence that there's another universe than there are for other planets. And so what you end up with is sort of a hierarchy of reasonableness to say, well, look, if we didn't create it and there's no evidence that it was created anywhere else on this planet, the next most reasonable explanation to assume is something extraterrestrial. So I really actually think it's a good question, but I think a lot of the answers that are given in follow-up to it aren't very good answers. It's not clarifying what we mean when we say alien.
Right. No, for sure. And I think the perception that the mainstream media sells is the typical kind of tropish alien that's presented in the X-Files or in Close Encounters or Star Trek, right?
There we go again with the X-Files now. And this is back to the entertainment thing where you were saying that we have this symbiotic relationship. Now, as a ufologist myself, I love the X-Files because of the little Easter eggs that were in there and the hints and the that you could pick up on if you knew about the history and about things you could pick up on, like an anagram for Ellens Air Force Base is like Nellis Air Force Base. And of course, that's where, you know, a number of very significant real world sightings have taken place. So, you know, really cool stuff. And I mean, I really love the culture of it because of that. At the same time, I can take it really seriously because I know there is a truth to it. I have had a UFO experience myself. Can't be explained by anything within our civilization that I know of. How about you? Have you ever seen a UFO?
I have never had a UFO sighting or a paranormal experience in my life. I'm a very boring person.
Oh, I don't think so, actually. I've heard you on other shows, and I'm really glad to have you on as a guest.
When you say you're a boring person, you could have really fooled us.
You know, as just someone who's been living in this world for the last 6 years or 7 years, I kind of lost count, it's really consumed my life on an academic level, and it's consumed my life on a reading and movie level. For me to actually experience it in some real way, if somebody can guarantee me a UFO sighting or an alien encounter, I'm there. Just, you know, give me a time and place.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, right. Everyone wants to see a UFO.
Well, you must know people, though. You must have talked to people. And also,
I was a Hufflepuff field investigator, so I've definitely done all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So how many sort of people have you talked to over the years? You know, just, you know, would you ask, you know, a few dozen, a few hundred people? And
oh, but yeah, I would probably say a few hundred minimum, I think. Yes, what is it? Sorry, Randall, you were asking me a question there.
yeah.
Oh, it was about how many people, right? How many people I...
Right, yeah. Like, over the years, just the social, cultural aspect of it, you were immersed in the culture, and so you would find, I'm sure then, because of that quite a few people had experiences that you were personally connected to. So, you know, one level removed from literally hundreds of people who have had experiences, that must have left an impression on you.
Oh, certainly. I mean, you definitely walk away from this research after speaking to hundreds of people who have had these experiences. You walk away with, you know, your grasp on what's real and what isn't being slightly loosened, because ultimately you trust a lot of these people and you meet, like, I've made a lot of friends over the last 6 years who have had experiences from in various paranormal sorts, from UFOs to whatever. And they, you know, they're not lying to me as far as I can tell. It serves them no purpose to lie. So, you know, why lie at all?
You know what? These announcements will not be lies either. Okay, so pay attention to them. Some will say they demand your attention, but that's just a joke. They don't demand your attention. There are no subliminal words. On this show, MJ, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Target stores get pretty busy on Saturdays, and they get even busier right before Father's Day. So, there were a lot of frustrated people when suddenly the cash registers stopped working correctly. Target says there was an internal technical glitch that stopped shoppers cold for about 2 hours across the country. WBBM reporter Jim Goodis.
Carol Moore was shopping at the Target. She said it was clear something wasn't quite right as soon as she walked in and saw long lines at the registers.
They said their global system was down, so it was affecting all the Targets in the area, I guess.
But by the time she was done shopping about 90 minutes later, the registers were working properly and the long lines were gone. Moore and other customers said Target employees made sure customers knew what was happening and kept them posted until the situation was resolved.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
MJ Benias is author of The UFO People, about the UFO subculture. Now, the expectations of disclosure from the 50s with Major Keogh, now with the To the Stars Academy, it's the same thing. The government knows the secret about UFOs, and they're going to tell us. Although, the current revelation about a secret Pentagon UFO study that came to the fore more or less indicated there's nothing to disclose. So we have that contradiction. What's your perception?
Yeah, I think disclosure has been kind of playing the same game for a long time. And it's kind of this, it's funny, it's sort of a self-preservation game, right? It's a world where the government needs to tell us the truth, and every time the government gives us any information, it's not the whole truth, and there's more, therefore the government needs to tell us the truth. And then they give us the truth, but then it's obviously not the truth because the government, therefore, they need to give us the truth, right? It becomes very circular. It's a sort of a circular argument of the truth that is provided is never enough truth, therefore. And I think the disclosure movement has always kind of wanted the same thing. And when you talk to people who are involved in disclosure or engage in that sort of aspect of the subculture, really, I think fundamentally what they want is the government to simply like present an alien body or something. Like it has to be so significant that it kind of undoes that circular argument, this self-eating snake that the disclosure movement is. And ultimately, it's never going to be enough. Right. And like you said, from Keogh to the modern day, the disclosure movement has always kind of been playing this similar song. And ultimately, I'm not sure if what they want as an ideological movement within the UFO community, Because like I said, unless it's literally just a body or, you know, here's a flying saucer we built because we got technology from these guys and whatever, you know, I think that that's what's going to really end disclosure as an actual force and to kind of bring it now, okay, we've finally had disclosure. And people are going to disagree with me. I know I'm going to take flack for this because there's a lot of people within the disclosure movement who would argue, well, listen, we already live in disclosure. Disclosure's already happened with the Pentagon thing and the Navy thing and all of these announcements and these pilots coming forward and seeing UFOs and talking about the gun camera footage. Disclosure's already happened, man. So, Benias, you're wrong. We're now living in confirmation, which is fine. And I'm happy for those people if they've found their little version of disclosure. But really, what has been disclosed? Fundamentally, nothing. UFOs exist. There's never really been a question of that. Everyone knows UFOs exist.
Well, you make a really good point.
It's the source that's really the big question, right? That's I think what fundamentally disclosure wants.
As soon as people have confirmation in their mind about their own theory and their own belief, then they believe that the question has been answered.
Right, but then those confirmation people still lament the fact that, oh, but the government is still lying to us because while everyone knows UFOs exist and we've had disclosures, now we're only living in confirmation, you know, the government should just tell us the truth about the aliens now.
The rest of the truth. The rest of the story.
Oh my, like they don't, like, don't you see you're still in it? Like you're still in the cycle. So I get a little frustrated because again, I'm an outsider, right? I'm not a born and bred UFO researcher. I began looking at the UFO question, not as looking at the UFO question, but looking at the community. So my introduction to the UFO world was not via UFOs.
You're part of the community now.
Oh, I totally am. Man, I drank the Kool-Aid. Like,
it'd be pretty hard to say you're not, you know?
I'm on those ATS forums, like, every day looking to see what's going on. UFO Reddit, you know, I'm on the Facebook and the Twitter checking up on everybody. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm an active member of this community. But
So who is your book really aimed at then? Like, is it aimed at the community or is it aimed at people like sociologists or people who are maybe on the fringe or the periphery? Yeah. And they're just wondering, like, well, like, what is this really all about? Like, who are you really aiming for when you were writing the book?
Yeah, this is such a good question. Cause when you look on Amazon, right? Like when you look at the rankings of the categories you're in, like UFOs, I'm in the UFO category. I'm in the paranormal category. And then I'm in the media studies, cultural studies category, right? So I think I'm targeting those three groups. I think fundamentally the book is designed for the UFO community itself as a sort of like, here's a mirror, look at yourself. And then the other portion of the book, the other, I guess, community the book is targeting is people within the cultural studies field, people within media studies, people within critical theory who do academic work on culture, who do academic work on subcultural studies.
Talk to us a bit about critical theory and exactly what you mean by that.
Sure. Critical theory was born as a sort of philosophical discipline in, I suppose, the early 1900s as a sort of response to, I guess we could sort of say more traditional philosophy. So critical theory is designed more to look at culture and ideologies that form within culture and in society, versus sort of what philosophy traditionally dealt with, which is like metaphysics, epistemology, ontology, rhetoric, argumentation. So when you kind of look at the divide between critical theory and philosophy, the best way to kind of perceive it, critical theory is the philosophy of culture. Of media, of music, of television, of film, of just politics, economics, whatever, feminism, queer theory, LGBTQ theory, whatever. This is what cultural studies does. It's philosophy of cultural movements and cultural frameworks and ideas. The stuff that philosophers, kind of more traditional, stodgy philosophers, don't want to touch because they want to talk about whether God exists, right? Critical theory, kind of focuses more on, you know, let's talk about why TV shows sort of look at this angle of an idea or they talk about film and that type of thing. So when I talk about critical theory, that's sort of what I mean.
Interesting. Yeah, it seems quite involved, and it would be very. This would be a very complex subject because it touches on so many aspects of culture and philosophy and science. There's virtually no part of our society today that isn't touched in some way by the UFO phenomenon. As I was mentioning earlier, all the way from the lonely Maytag repairman who's, you know, abducted by UFOs to the Close Encounters of the Third Kind or TV shows or news broadcasts. It's cartoons, The Simpsons. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's become a background, sort of like the background noise of our modern culture.
Right. No, totally. I've said it before. Ufology is very much and always has been sort of a philosophical practice. Science can only do so much within UFO studies, only because the UFO doesn't follow the rules or the laws of science in any way. So I think we can, if we had enough objective information, data that we can sink our teeth into, then there is a scientific component. Like, I'm a member of the SCU, so I do believe that science does play a role in understanding the UFO phenomenon. However,
I think you'd be familiar with Kingsbury,
right?
Then,
yes.
And what you're talking about then, I mean, if you're talking about critical theory, well, that's in some ways one of the central things it seems to be doing, is sort of like politicizing social problems in a way that is against cultural and historical context. So if we're talking about UFOs, then you're saying, well, okay, it's okay to believe in UFOs, or maybe it's not okay to believe in UFOs, depending on your cultural context.
Right. You know, it's okay, for sure, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to break for a few pieces of business and get back with MJ Benias, talking about the UFO people, not the sky people, the UFO people. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day?
Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind
to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function.
Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out.
You're only at your best when your mind is at its best.
Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I just wonder, here, getting back to what the government may know or disclose, with the Pentagon UFO study, the indication was, after all these years, the Pentagon knows nothing. Or that study was a red herring, maybe to appease Senator Harry Reid, former Senator Reid, and just misdirect attention. That's a good conspiracy theory, isn't it?
It could be. You know, I think the reason why the Pentagon program didn't find anything is because I think UFOs, by their very nature, will never leave anything behind to be found. They'll leave little breadcrumbs, you know what I mean? They'll leave little snippets of data that can be studied, but they'll never just, you know, be like, oh yeah, here you go, here's everything. This was interesting when you kind of talk to individuals like Gary Nolan or Hal Puthoff, you know, they've sort of speculated that maybe whatever's behind the UFO phenomenon is just kind of leaving us little breadcrumbs along the way, right, for our own development, maybe. So I think that the Pentagon program didn't get anywhere because whatever is responsible for the phenomenon didn't allow it to get anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, that seems to be the case for sure. Just before the break there, I sort of cut you off, though. We were talking a bit about critical theory and how you're a member of the SCU, which is really cool. And you were just going to be continuing.
Oh, sure.
On there. Yeah. So let's pick up on that again.
Sure. Yeah. So I think science does have to play a role within the UFO phenomenon. I think, you know, science does need to start getting itself more actively involved. And I think scientists who are interested in UFOs need to start engaging in the study a little more. I think though UFOs have always been, and I think ufology, even from the very beginning, has never really been a science. It's always been a philosophy. Because fundamentally, when you look at what ufology does, is it calls into question sort of ancient and new philosophical questions, right? It talks about, you know, are we alone in the universe? What is our purpose? How do we know what we know? It questions, you know, what reality is, and do we actually have access to sort of something objective when it comes to reality, or are we dealing with a more relativistic, subjective approach to reality? how does culture influence the UFO phenomenon? How does culture influence our interpretation of the UFO phenomenon, right? So we're really dealing as ufologists, and I've called myself a ufologist just now, so I'm going to throw up a little in my mouth. But
actually be proud of it. Own it. I do. I call myself a ufologist. We got to really talk about this some more, too, because this whole idea that we can't call ourselves ufologists or use the word UFO, and we have to instead call it a UAP or something like that. I think there's a real problem with that attitude within ufology, personally.
Then I don't recommend you go to my YouTube channel and watch my video where I talk about why ufology doesn't exist. I would say just stay away from that video.
Oh, no. Now I'm even more interested. To be able to discuss it, I think, is really important.
Right.
I mean, because you make a valid point. Ufology is a cultural activity these days, right, more than a scientific one.
Right.
And we've got a different definition of it.
Sure.
On the right. Ufology Society International website, for example. So
right.
we say it's the title used for the array of subject matter and activities associated with an interest in UFOs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny because this conversation is very much a philosophical conversation, right? We're talking about like semantics and semiotics.
But it matters. Because sure if we don't get that right, then nobody knows what it is we're really talking about, do they?
Right, but it's always been like that. Like, I mean, you know, ufology has always been like this. We never agree. You know what I mean?
Like, how can we agree then?
Right.
I mean, and this was one of the central questions that I've always had as well. And my assumption when I started out, and maybe I'm not sure if you've had a similar experience, is that, well, all I need to do is track back to history and find objective historical evidence that follows a trail and can be written down and documented as to what has happened, and therefore we can from that have a common understanding of what these different concepts and words mean. But that didn't work.
No.
Because people just go, well, I don't care about the history or where that came from. This is what I think, and this is what I want it to be about, and therefore that's going to be my platform. And if you don't like it, change the channel and watch something else, right?
Right. Like, ufology has never had an ivory tower. It's never had a body that governs it, right? The UFO discourse in the UFO community has always been a sort of anarchic state, the sort of perfect democracy where people simply vote with their feet and just, like you said, change the channel. So what you would ultimately need to establish as a community for ufology, it would be some sort of governing system that oversees who is a ufologist and who isn't. Because ultimately, you can't have people just doing whatever they want, because then that you're not an ology. Anyone who is an ologist in a sort of an academic sense has to follow the rules given to them by the governing bodies and organizations that establish them. So
there's some sort of framework. So if it were to become
right,
and academic sense.
Right, and there's penalties for those who break that framework.
And this is something that I've advocated for quite a while and had a lot of pushback on, is that I actually think that ufology, rather than being in the sciences, like in engineering, physics, astronomy, that side of mathematics, that side of the scientists, is much better suited for the humanities.
I agree, because
you could actually have a faculty of ufology. Because you've got all of these things that are relevant that you could study.
Sure, I agree with you. I think the problem, though, is again, a huge component of ufology is that cultural aspect. And you're always going to have the David Wilcox and the Corey Goods coming out who are going to ultimately throw, you know, the real work under the bus for the sake of views and clicks and subscribers or whatever.
That's okay, because guys like you and I and other, say, serious ufologists can say, well, hey, we can look at Corey Good and put him in the card catalog along with everybody else and say, well, look, he's just another facet of the ufology culture who tends to believe this and promote these ideas. And we can look at it very objectively and say, well, where on the map of it all does he fit? And look at it very objectively and very academically.
I agree. I mean, but ultimately that we're kind of doing that like anyway. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm not sure anyone in this conversation right now or any of the audience actually takes sort of Corey Good or David Wilcox seriously. I don't think the fine listeners of the Paracast fall for that type of nonsense. So,
you said it. I didn't.
So, yeah. So you please email me. Fundamentally, I think this is kind of occurring, in a way, right? You're never going to see David Wilcock grace a Scientific Coalition for Ufology conference, where sort of, I would argue, the real ufological work, if that's a thing, is being done, right? So I agree with you to a point. I think if ufology could somehow get together and actually create some sort of academic process, an academic system, a governing body, that would be amazing. And I would pay money to see that, that's for sure. But again, I'm not sure if it would work just because ufology has never had that. And ufology has never been able to do that. The largest UFO groups today don't have the ability to manage their own people and resources and allocate who's what, and establish credibility. So that's kind of the inherent problem I think we're dealing with as a culture and as a community.
Undoubtedly. Yeah. I mean, we had, groups like QFOs. I think came as close as you could get with Hynek being a genuine scientist, astronomer, and we all know who he was. And QFOS, I think, has come the closest of all the groups to doing that.
The problem is they existed in a time before the internet, right? So now, anyone can be an accredited UFO researcher and can walk around saying that and can write a blog and start a YouTube channel like I did. And so many people listen to them. Potentially, I've only got like 900 subscribers, so not a lot of people listen to me, but you know what I mean? Like, to be a UFO researcher, you can just kind of, spin around three times and click your heels together and you are one.
I wouldn't say it's quite that simple. And you have to know quite a bit. Yes. I haven't published anything on YouTube.
No, but what I mean though is, you could go look at UFO research on YouTube who have thousands and thousands and thousands of followers.
Well, somebody is making money from this, ladies and gentlemen, but certainly not us. We have a YouTube channel. Don't get me started. We got four more segments to spend with NJ Banias, author of The UFO People. Yeah. Here they come. No. With Gene and Randall and
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was Extendivite. Did you know that I'm about 75% better? I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendover.